It's an awesome thing to be in Maywood. This is another sermon. I was reading this morning in John 4, and Jesus is telling his disciples, other people have done the hard work, and you get to reap the harvest. And I just felt like Jesus was telling me that about the season that we're in Maywood, and it is a joy to be here. God has done so much to get you guys in the room. Folks have gone before us and done so much to bring this group together in the room. But there's a lot of fruit that God wants. You know, there's a lot of good things God wants to bring. The quick pitch on the coach thing is you've got gifts. And just like Shalene's talking about, there's so many people are using their gifts, buying it. You believe like we believe it. Jesus has gifted you to help us. We want to work together. Today's sermon is awesome. Christina and others were leading us this idea of God is so faithful, so we can trust Him. And that, if you have that in your heart and you're ready for everything I want to share with you today. And so today I'm going to start you off. We're going to follow throughout the sermon this time I had with my kids here a couple weeks ago, so it was just starting to get a little warmer. I took them up to Little Blue Trace Trail. And they got these scooters for Christmas, and they've ridden them around a little bit. But this was the first time I've been in a bunch of open space, and I had to like run to keep up with them. But I'm going to follow some stuff that they taught me kind of while we were on the ride. So the first, I want to show you a little video of Sequoia and Samuel. And Sequoia is trying to get up this hill. And I want you to pay attention to what she says. Yeah, there's some dogs up there. Okay, so right at the end, there's some dogs up ahead. So she's worried about the dogs. What do we do? There's some dogs. But hopefully you can hear that. She's going to the hill. She's over and over. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. So all the way up the hill. And she got that from somewhere, obviously. Like, we've read this book at home a bunch. Not for a while, though. We've not read it. I've not read it in months, probably. But sunk in, apparently. And so she's going to the hill. I think I can. I think I can. And there's some good, like, earthly wisdom in this book for toddlers. Because three-year-olds, they do need that encouragement a lot. Of like, no, you can do this. You know, you can pull up both your underwear and your pants. Like, I think about it. You can. You're too old. I can't do it. You have to do it for me. There's a lot of that. So they need that lesson. Like, you can do it. But there's some things that we teach, rightly so, to little kids, but they just grow and grow, and it kind of swings too far by the time we're at the stage that we are at today. And a lot of us are saying to ourselves in life right now, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And even in the past, we've believed that we could handle all the problems and all the craziness and still come out on top, and the wheels fell off, and there was a train wreck. But we learned a lot, and now, today, we can do it. I can handle my stuff today, right? And whether we say it out loud, most of the time, that's the great thing about three-year-olds, they just say what they're thinking. If we said out loud the stuff that we believe, a lot of us would believe that we can handle it. That I, on my own strength, my own smartness, can get it done. And if you don't think you're like that, you might look at it and be like, oh yeah, there's some prideful people in the room that need to hear this, Jake. I'm glad you're talking about it. If you're one of those people, at the very end, what happened there was if she saw there were dogs up ahead or on a trail, that's kind of new to her. Something she didn't expect happened, her first response, stop and ask me what to do. If you don't think you're one of these I think I can people, when something you didn't expect happens, and she's not super afraid of the dogs in this, but just when something you don't expect happens, do you stop Not just a little, Jesus, please help me. But do you stop and say, Jesus, what should we do? Because that's a real picture of humility. That's like at a good spot. Just a, I don't, something new. I don't know what to do. I'm going to ask what to do. So, today we're talking about this idea of humility. And I love a definition I came across here recently. It says, the 12-step programs are so powerful because they teach a form of humility that says, know your limitations and get the help you need. I want to focus in on each one of those. Know your limitations. We don't like that word, right? We don't like the word limitations. Typically we think, well, if I try harder, or if I just get some more education, or get some more of this or that, or if my boss stopped holding me back, or if other people, a lot of us don't ever stop with some sort of, I can't do that. I have a limitation. I really do need so many hours of sleep if I'm going to be a patient parent. So how am I going, you know, because as soon as you start running into limitations, you come into this idea of you're not a super person, right? But it's real easy to get into this stuff of not knowing your limitations. I remember being in a budget meeting here at the church just several years ago, and it was clear like we could improve, if we're going to equip other people and help them lead stuff, we could improve the way we kept track of stuff. And I thought, well, here's something that needs to be fixed. I'll fix it, was my thought. I thought, I'm smart enough, like I've not done any major giant budgeting stuff before, except my own like household, but I'll just create a whole new system for us to track our spending. And it took me a couple years of trying really hard to realize, like, I'm not very good at this. You know, like, this system didn't work well. We need somebody else to help. And quickly, very obvious that other people who have a lot more experience in this can do it much better than me. That I shouldn't be so like, I'll just fix it. Think about it in your own life. Where has that got you into trouble? Where you fumbled the ball on something, or you hurt yourself, or you hurt somebody else, because you thought, I'm smart enough, I'm strong enough, I'm going to fix it all by myself. Know your limitations. The nice thing is if you admit your limitations, it quickly leads you into the next step of humility, which is to get the help you need. The reality is God made us like puzzle pieces. You guys have all seen puzzle pieces. They have these parts that curve out. I would say like those are like our strengths. These things that we have to offer other people to fill in their gaps. But every puzzle piece is not just all outward shapes. You know, it has these gaps. Those are our limitations. Those are the part, like, we can't do it on our own. We need others to be whole. God gave you your strengths, but he also gave you your limitations. And one of the things your limitations do that strengths don't do nearly as well is they bond you to other people. They connect you in healthy ways to other people because they make you need to ask people for help. So some of you are still on step one, I would say, of humility. You've got to admit you have some limitations. And don't just say, oh yeah, I'm not a Superman. Think specifically, what is it that you need help with? Step two is you've got to actually go and get help. Find some people that actually have some strength to give to you. Not just the person you're most comfortable with. Find somebody who says, that person has a strength in an area that I don't. I'm going to go to them and ask for help. Or it might even be that they're just stronger at it than you are. So, real quick on getting the help that you need, some specifics from my own life here recently. Chrissy and I think have a great marriage, but every marriage could be better. And that's because each person in the marriage could always be better, and I can speak at least for myself on that. I can be better. So have an accountability partner, somebody I'm really open with about what's going on. So I started opening up to him about my marriage. And then I started just doing the stuff he suggested. instead of just sitting on my own and trying to figure stuff out, which is my normal way of trying to handle stuff. So things have gone really, really great. Big improvements. Some of it's super simple, like one of Chrissy's love languages is gifts, and Chrissy doesn't even know this. I started wrapping myself up. There we go. So when I realized that again and was encouraged by my accountability partner kind of in that arena, and Chrissy had a conversation about it. So that love language stuff, that comes from a book. So I went and got the book off the shelf, and honestly, I didn't read the whole thing. But I read the chapter on gifts, and it had some very specific, like, do this. So I just did that. You know, like, I didn't have to memorize. I didn't have to come up with some master plan. I had to submit to somebody who knew what they were talking about, right? It's good. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Like, you need to be open with somebody you can trust. You need to submit to their good advice. The sermons here lately, I don't know if you guys have noticed any differences, but a month or two ago, I went to Bob. I started handing him my sermon notes for a few weeks ahead of time, telling him, like, what could be better. He gave me some real clear feedback, and I made some very obvious changes. And it helped, you know? But in your life, what does that look like? Who do you go to that you can say, like, that's a Bob in my life? That's someone I can trust. I can take what I'm working on or what I'm trying to do, and I can say, here it is. Help me do it better. Show me the way. So we're going to read a verse. We talked a lot about this other stuff. Let's get into our passage today. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. The beginning of the verse says, in the same way, which references the beginning of the chapter. It's everything we talked about last week. And you can listen to that sermon if you want to online, but last week, it starts and ends with this idea of everything Jesus did for us, and we want to be a leader like Jesus. That's what last week was about. Responding to who Jesus is, what he's done for us, following in his footsteps. So it says in the same way, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, and he's shown us the way, it says, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. Last week was about how folks who are older should lead well. Here it's about folks who are younger should submit, should do what they're told. Like, nope, I've never heard anybody, like, no one's ever come to me and said, like, my goal is to submit more. Like, I've never heard that as a goal. I've never heard it as a New Year's resolution. I'm going to be a better person this year because I'm going to submit more. We don't like submission. I mean, I don't know another way around it. We don't like it. We don't, I mean, this is, sorry for a crude random example that just came to me, but like, we don't like manure either, but you mix that into a garden and like, great things can grow, right? And submission is not fun. I don't think anybody likes submission. And it's not like, submission all by itself will not lead you to a beautiful place, right? But submission is good soil. If you put God into that soil, then something amazing will grow out of it, right? Some of us are trying so hard to be super people, but we're planting God in a really rocky place because we don't submit to the people around us. There are people in your life who are better than you at everything, you know, if you get enough people. So find a couple of them. Find a couple people who you can trust and say, that person is an elder to me when it comes to following Jesus. Or at least an elder to me in this area. They have a strong marriage and I don't. Or they're a successful, great parent and I'm not. Or they are a good worker and I'm not. Find somebody who has something that you see, like Jesus has put something good in them. Go to them and then simply do the stuff they tell you to do. You don't need to get a lot of advice. And you don't need to get advice from a rocket scientist, but you do need to do the stuff they talk about. It's so much easier said than done, right? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how this works again from the trail ride with Sequoia. So here's Sequoia again going up the hill. And so when we're on the trail ride, there's some stuff that I'm pushing on them a little bit. They don't really understand. You know, they just have to submit to. One of the things makes total sense to every parent, Chrissy would be 100% behind it, is come up to these bridges on the trail, and normally I just let them go as fast as they want to go because the trail's pretty safe. But coming to the bridge, I tell them like you have to slow down before the bridges to get close to them because they really, they're not super great on the scooters, so I don't really trust them like with the bridges. Okay, so they have to submit to me on it. I don't think they really comprehend that it's even dangerous at all. But they just know like Dad made a rule, so they gotta stick to it. So they do it, right? There's another thing I try to instill in them as a dad. I don't know. So I try to instill this idea of like being tough. And I don't say this phrase about like don't cry or anything. I don't say that because that's Chrissy gives me this look like that's a terrible thing to say. So I've cut that phrase out, but kind of like the same principles there. Like I want them to be tough when little things happen. So one of the reasons for that is, like, I love riding bicycles, I love having adventurous, you know, doing little adventurous things, but I know, like, you gotta stair step up to that. You gotta get over some little minor fears as a kid to be able to enjoy that stuff. So the scooters, for me, in my mind, are like a stair step towards, like, all these other great things. But if you get afraid of falling, then you're gonna have a hard time enjoying all that stuff. So the scooters are nice in that, like, if you fall off a scooter, doesn't hurt you very much, and they don't go super fast on them, and then it was a kind of a cold day. The last time I fell off my bicycle, it was cold, and I was thankful for that because you're all bundled up. Stuff just doesn't hurt as much when you're cold. Little stuff, anyway. So they fell 4, 5, 6 times while we were out on the trail, and I don't know if this makes me a great dad or if they're poor kids, but like they would fall and they would like be on the ground and like the stroller's on, they'd start to get up and see like, I'm tough, Dad. That's what they would say. And a little piece of me felt like I'm glad Chrissy's not here. Like, I don't know. I'm happy, but I don't know if this is good parenting or not exactly. But the thing is, like, they wanted to show like I'm tough. They didn't cry. They got back on the shooters and kept going. And for me, like, it was like a big win. Like, this isn't a real hurt. They've got their helmets on and stuff. Like, they're safe. But I brought them to a place, and I kind of gave them this principle of, like, be tough, because I'm looking down the road at, like, all these great things that I want them to enjoy. But if they let these little people, you know, because they're, you know, being tough and getting some attention is one way. Crying for 10 minutes about something that barely hurt and getting attention is another path. You know, I've tried to encourage them on the tough path, you know? And because I want something good for them. So here's the thing about all the submission in your life. If it's coming from God, or indirectly, if it's coming from godly counsel for a person, then it's about helping you. It's about unlocking things you don't understand, or it's about keeping you safe from things you didn't even know were a real danger. Because the stuff that they're worried about is not the real danger, right? And the stuff they're afraid of is holding them back sometimes. So my role as a dad is to help them with that. Sometimes they just have to submit because they're 3 and they don't understand. And I don't need to explain to them like why the bridge is dangerous. Because that's going to have a weird effect like now they're wanting on the scooter, you know? Some of it's just listening and trust. It's very easy to hear this stuff, but when you go to somebody in your small group and tell them about what's happening with you and your girlfriend, and they tell you, hey, this is what you need to do, it is going to be hard. And it will reveal how serious you are. Right? That's what reveals what's inside of us, what we care the most about. When do we submit? That verse says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, shows favor to the humble. God's against people who are prideful. And you might do well for a quarter or something, you might do well for a little while, but the reality is, if you go up against God, you're going to lose. He always wins. So when you come with pride, you're signing up for a losing team. But he wants to help humble people. Because humbleness is such a healthy place to grow from. Right? When you go to other people and you ask for help, when you go to other people and you ask for advice, when you admit your own limitations, Then when you succeed, it's hard to become prideful. So you see, like, well, this person helped me, and that person gave me the good advice, and you see it's not all you. It's this healthy place to have success. God's waiting until you can handle something good before he's going to give you something good. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. The final thing I want to talk to you about today is this idea that God is going to be the one to raise you up. Some of us rush to say, everyone's got to understand me today. Everyone's got to see how good I am today. I made some mistakes 20 minutes ago, but I've been doing good for 15 minutes. So, respect me now. We have that sort of attitude, and it might be 15 years, I don't know, but all of us have this attitude of look at my best side and only see that. But this passage is saying, don't worry about yourself. Have this humbleness that God can lift up. When it's right, God will lift you up. You don't ever have to worry about lifting yourself up. You don't ever have to worry about lifting yourself up. It's one more story, one more little video, actually, from this trail ride. So, one of the times Sequoia likes to ride a scooter like this. she runs into the back of her brother, and, she crashes sometimes. Well, so it was a little bit muddy that day. She got off the trail and crashed. Got mud all over the scooter, mud all over her shoes, all over her gloves. Had to take the gloves off. And Sequoia kind of was like, what do we do? I think this is definitely the first time she's ever been muddy with the scooter. And I think she had this idea of will the scooter even work? And you go, it's muddy. And do my shoes, can I walk? I've got all this mud on my shoes. It was just, she was ready for me to just carry her all the way back to the van and go home. I had to tell her, it's going to come off. The mud's going to come off. Get her back on her scooter. Well, we got to the end of the trail. Try to pay attention here to what she says. Okay, Sequoia, come back this way. Are you having fun, buddy? Some of you came to church today, you're super freaking out, you're ready to quit, because you see all this mud all over your hands and all over your shoes and all over all your life. Some of you don't need to hear about humbleness, because you just are about ready to despair. Right? If there was an option for someone to just pick you up and take you away, you take it. Jesus is here in the room today. It's not me, it's Jesus who can say this sort of stuff. He said, do the thing I've given you to do, the mud will come off. Jesus, today, if you will go to him and say, Jesus, forgive me for my past, he will forgive you immediately. The mud will come off as you obey him. He will purify it right out of you, okay? Simple steps to doing that is know your limitations. Ask for help. It's easy to hear this stuff and not change. Some of us need to get more sleep tonight. Some of us need to say, I can't handle going to that place anymore. Some of us need to say, I have to ask someone else for help at work because I don't know how to do this part of my job. And then I get so stressed, I do something wrong. You know your limitations. Or will you admit them today? Will you ask somebody else for help today? Daniel and the worship team are coming up. There's people down front to pray. If you're covered in mud, you can pray and be clean today. If you think you can, you need to change. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. You are faithful, and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.